Chapter 2, The Crash, The Coat and The Can. Today. Over 800 years had passed since that night with the prince. Adam had lived through every one of them, though he hadn't aged a day. This particular day was a special one. He'd just found out something incredibly exciting and was consequently falling out of the sky and into the bins at the end of Hopton's footpath, grinning from ear to ear. It wasn't a particularly graceful landing. If it hadn't been for the coat, he probably would have broken every bone in his body, which he had done before, but it had severely hampered his progress. He stood up, still a little shaky, and surveyed his surroundings. It had been a good while since he'd been back home, and even longer since his last visit to Britain. It was a strange place, Britain. No matter where his adventures took him, this small island always seemed to pull him back. When he'd jumped, he'd been aiming for London, and this was at least a city. Cities change, but they always have a feel, and this felt like London, but it would be good to check. It was then that Adam saw Brian. Brian was sitting on a small patch of grass across the road from the alleyway, watching Adam, with his mouth and eyes wide open. Brian had seen Adam fall and was now having what some might call a spiritual moment. Brian had been drinking, like he did every day. He'd been to St. Paul's newsagent round noon, never before noon. No one respectable drank before noon. He bought his 6 cans and an apple. He'd promised Catherine he'd never go a day without fruit, and he'd stuck to that promise even on his darkest days. Brian drank the first can on the common, where he and Catherine had sat on their first date. Must have been, 45 years ago. He checked to make sure their names were still on the tree. He'd carved them into the bark with a penknife, trying to impress Catherine. She'd called him out on it afterwards, but as he reminded her every time they sat there, it worked, didn't it? Brian usually had the second can of beer while reading the free paper he picked up from outside the station. A man needs to know what's happening in the world around him, his father had proclaimed every weekend after finishing the Sunday Times. Brian checked the headlines while drinking and walking towards his afternoon spot of green. There'd been nothing too exciting that day. They'd lost another robot car on Mars, a panda had successfully given birth in Scotland, and some rich American blonde had declared war on poverty. Probably didn't know the first thing about it. When Brian arrived at his destination, he carefully sat down and turned to his favourite section, the chance encounters. A small column of the paper where people wrote in after catching someone's eye on their way to work. Brian had always been a hopeless romantic. To the gorgeous girl in the glasses on the Northern Line reading Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban, I'm the shabby Lupin type who is sitting opposite you. I don't bite, I promise. Martin Major. To the blue-eyed, handsome man in the corduroy suit who only just made it onto the 159 bus on Tuesday morning, I'm glad you made it on. The suited and booted businessman you ever so politely said excuse me to, Alex Cole. Brian always read this column here at his green. It was a small patch of grass on an otherwise busy high street. You saw these patches all around London. Nothing but paving stones, tarmac, brick, and then a flash of green, where nature had become stubborn and refused to move. It felt sacred to Brian. It was his little resting place. He'd cried here, laughed here, and, on very bad days, screamed at people who had walked past here. He was pleased to say that he hadn't done the latter in a while. He was adjusting to being alone. The only thing that now impinged upon his enjoyment of the spot was the billboard. The billboard had always been there, but until last week it had been neglected, reduced to a mosaic of advertisements passed. The elements had battered it so badly that when Brian stared long enough, he'd been able to see small sections of about 50 different posters. The oldest one was a Marlborough ad. That must have been nearly 40 years old. Not any more. Last week, Brian had turned up to his spot, and there, looking down on him from 50 feet above, was a man sporting a blue polyester suit, dazzling white teeth, way too much hair gel, and football-themed cufflinks. Luxton's Estates, welcome to your neighbourhood. Brian had lived through the '80s. He remembered the first time the yuppies had made their move into communities that never asked for them. Now, every time he walked down the high street, he saw the changes. Alf's Calf became Prunella's Patisserie. Monty's Fish and Chips was now the Wine Cave. The betting shop was still a betting shop, except now he needed a smartphone to register. Brian could have raged at the new billboard. He imagined the rant of righteous fury he would have delivered to Catherine had she been there. She would have smiled and stroked his shoulder until he was done. Instead, Brian decided to be the bigger man. He turned his back on that perfect smile and began to people watch. There weren't too many people to watch yet, but Brian knew as the day went on and his cans got lighter, he would see his symphony of human life walk by. Brian's eyes fell towards the alleyway on the other side of the road. That was one of the wings to his stage. He'd seen so many interesting players emerge from there. The Young Lovers, Cops and Robbers, an urban fox who had looked at Brian for the longest time. But today he saw a man in a gold coat fall out of the sky and into some bins. In the future, when telling this story, Brian will swear he saw an angel. He'll start going to church again. He'll find a community, and that community will support him and help him get his life back on track. He'll learn to play the organ. He'd learnt the piano from a mate in the army. It wasn't that much of a difference. He'll still go and sit on the common, still go to his patch of stubborn grass and people watch, and he'll still read about love-struck Londoners. But he won't drink alone. Why would he, when he'll be meeting his friends in the pub that evening? The angel fell to earth with a rather less than holy crash. The alleyway flashed with light. Brian saw the figure sprawled in the scattered rubbish, its back heaving as if it was sucking in all the air it could. After the shock, Brian felt a little guilty, as if he were intruding on a private moment, but he couldn't look away. The angel stood up shakily and began to walk out of the alley. Brian got his first proper look at him. The face reminded him of a trip that he and Catherine had taken to Italy. It was the only proper foreign holiday they'd ever taken together, and they'd absolutely loved it. One of the exhibitions they went to displayed some of the drawings of Leonardo da Vinci, and one in particular had caught Brian's eye. It was a man in a wheel. That's who this angel's face reminded him of. It was like someone had taken that bloke out of his wheel and then kicked the shit out of him. Like something perfect had been soiled. Just my luck. I get to see an angel, and it's the shabbiest one in all of Christendom. No halo, no trumpet, not even shoes. Most of the clothes the angel did wear looked like a mishmash of things you'd get from a charity shop. But only an expert people watcher like Brian would have noticed these details. If anyone else had been peering into the alley that morning, all they would have noted was the coat. Its cut was that of an old leather travelling coat. It was long, finishing at the top of the angel's shins. The shoulders were covered in a thick wool. The seams of the many pockets were so finely sewn that if you weren't looking as intensely as Brian, you might not have seen them. You certainly wouldn't have caught all 15. It wasn't reflective or painted or dyed. It just seemed to be glowing. This coat was the angel's wings. Brian was sure of it. Then, much to his surprise, the stranger in the beautiful gold coat raised his hand and waved. At Brian. Nobody had waved at Brian in years, let alone an angel. And yet Brian felt himself instinctively raise his hand in return. Hello! The angel shouted across the road. Is this London? Brian nodded. Brilliant! The angel beamed as he crossed the road. I'm looking for St. Paul's. Brian pointed to the small shop with the blue awning. Printed above it in faded white letters were the words, St. Paul's Newsagents, Food and Wine. Bugger, muttered the angel. That's not the cathedral, is it? Brian shook his head. Had an angel just said bugger? The angel puffed out his cheeks in a long sigh. Sorry, do you mind if I join you? Is the cathedral even near here, or the... The angel took out a scrap of paper from one of his many pockets. UCL, Faculty of Arts and Humanities. That's where I'm really headed. But if you're going to jump, it's got to be a place of worship. And I heard St. Paul's Cathedral was near there. Oh, must have got my Paul's mixed up. Still, odd-looking church, he said, looking back at the newsagents. Wonder who's taking communion there. Brian didn't speak. He didn't even move. I don't want to intrude. It's just been a hell of a trip getting here. Brian looked round to see if anyone else could see what he was seeing, but the street was unusually empty. The angel plopped down next to Brian. Yeah, this is London, isn't it? It feels like London. Brian hesitated. The angel's eyes were the most fantastic shade of storm-like grey. Yes, it is. South London, though. I'm not sure about UCL, but St. Paul's Cathedral's up north, across the river. Brian's voice was a little crackly. He hadn't talked to anyone in days. I'm Brian, said Brian, his own name feeling foreign in his mouth. Brian! Adam! So, this is London now. Wow! Have you been before? Brian asked. I've used to come quite a lot. Even had a place here for a while. But that was an age ago. It's changed a lot. Smells much better. Oh, yes. They've really done a good push on cutting down the pollution recently. Good for the little ones. Brian was amazed that he still had the ability to make small talk. You've got children, Brian? The angel asked, seeming genuinely interested. No, me and the wife never got round to it. Brian had regretted this. Catherine would have been a wonderful mum, and if they'd had kids, maybe he wouldn't be so alone now. She's dead, said the angel. It wasn't a question. Brian felt a warm hand on his shoulder. She loved this city, knew it like the back of her hand. I'm from Essex originally, but she was a Londoner, born and bred. I moved here for her, but I'd have followed her anywhere. The tears came to Brian as easily as his words. They talked for hours. Brian told him all about their tree and his showing off with the penknife, all about the flat they'd got in Brixton. It had been small, but they'd made it a home. He told the angel about the wedding. Nothing too fancy, neither family approved. It had just been them, the registrar, and two witnesses they'd grabbed at the last minute. The builder putting up scaffolding on the registry office and the man selling flowers outside the tube. The flower seller had only agreed to do it if he could go home and get changed into his best suit first. Brian told the angel about the cancer. The tests, the treatments, the hopes, and the final despair. Brian and the angel shared the last of the cans. It had just gone three when Adam finally stretched and got to his feet, his bare feet. Brian had a thought. What size are you? Excuse me, said Adam. Shoes. Medium, I think. Brian smiled and unzipped his backpack, pulling out a pair of black leather dress shoes. He'd often wondered why he always kept them with him. Maybe it was because Catherine had bought them for him. Maybe it's because he'd convinced himself that he'd need them someday for a job interview. Or maybe it was for this very moment. If you're serious about walking to the cathedral, you're going to need some shoes, mate. Brian handed the shoes to Adam. Are these from the wedding? Adam asked. Yes, Catherine got them for me. But I can't wear them any more. They aren't meant for an old man's feet, joked Brian. When was the last time Brian had joked? Adam paused. Thank you, Brian, he said, before taking the shoes and lacing them on. A perfect fit. make Catherine proud. And with a smile and a wave, Adam happily strode up Streatham High Road towards St. Paul's Cathedral, or more accurately, UCL's Faculty of Arts and Humanities, and the Titan who taught there.
You've been listening to Evergreen, Chapter 2, written by Sam Russell and read by Catherine Russell. If you enjoyed it, wherever you're listening, please subscribe, give us a like and a review so we can get this story into more people's ears. And if you really liked it, you can support this project on our Ko-fi page. All the details are available on our Twitter, at @evergreenbook1. The next chapter comes out on Monday, the 28th of June. Thanks for listening.